You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Could you please briefly describe the Solomon Islands-China security agreement?
The basics of it are that there's now disagreement over the implications of an agreement that some worry could see military assets belonging to the People's Republic of China stationed or put on a more or less permanent basis in the Western Pacific. The details of the agreement are still emerging, but that is the chief worry. And there are perspectives which are emerging from the Solomon Islands now, where Chinese influence is a very contentious thing, over that country's right to assert its sovereignty and negotiate or enact any security agreements it likes. Voices from China, from New Zealand, from Australia, and elsewhere are all in different quarters being seen as interference or meddling with the sovereign right of the Solomon Islands to do that.
The Solomon Islands only switched their diplomatic recognition from Taipei to Beijing in 2019. How has this security, this relationship escalated to a security agreement so quickly? And what do you think are the underlying motivations for that?
To be honest with you, I don't know the particulars of exactly what it would have been that caused this to happen so quickly. It's an ongoing question for me, and I'm still learning about it. There are a number of factors, though, that could have precipitated a larger shift away from the Republic of China towards the People's Republic of China, both in the Solomons and indeed in small states across the region. Some of these have to do with the politics of development aid. China's a rising aid power in the Pacific. It does not give as much aid yet as the region's largest donor, Australia, but it tends to fund things that other traditional aid providers in the region do not, such as airports, seaports, large pieces of infrastructure. That kind of thing is very expensive, and China has proven itself in the last decade or so much more willing to fund that kind of thing than traditional donors have. So that's one possible factor. The other is the perception the United States has not kept up its role, if you like, as a traditional donor in the region, and with island nation economies quite heavily dependent on an influx of foreign support. These dollars and cents add up and they make a difference. And China's been the party that's been willing to step up. So I think that's largely what's behind it. And the flip from recognition of government in Taiwan to Beijing and the Solomons in particular probably reflects the willingness of political factions in the Solomons to be sensitive to the realities of aid politics.
Do you think the agreement poses, especially if it's coupled with, as you say, like the building of infrastructure through international aid packages, do you think there's a risk of these types of agreements to the sovereignty of the Solomon Islands?
There are concerns from different quarters about so-called debt trap diplomacy on China's part, that these large infrastructure projects, the portions of them which are not grants outright but are loans, actually put recipient countries in quite a bad financial position. I know that that is an argument that some have made. What we don't really know is the internal politics of the decision to actually ink an agreement like this. I am personally a bit less concerned than others, particularly if it turns out that the duly elected representatives of the people in the Solomon Islands enacted this and signed the agreement in good faith. Again, I'm still learning about the particulars of that. It's not something that's been really widely reported in much of the rest of the world as of yet. In other words, it's possible that there could be a slip in sovereignty, but you've got to consider the agency of policymakers and decision makers in Honiara as well.
What do you think China's motivations are with this type of agreement?
Also unclear. I realize that that's not comforting and probably not what people want to hear. But the reality is this is Chinese international relations, and there's a lot that's not made explicit publicly about intentionality. There are a number of possibilities. One of the more common views is that the Chinese presence in the Pacific is there to simply counter perceived U.S. dominance in the region. It's about bipolar competition between two superpowers. There might be something to that. Were we to ask representatives from Beijing about Chinese intentionality, they would probably say something like China wishes to be seen as, because it is, a benevolent rising power and wishes to simply be a responsible global citizen that gifts humanity where and when it can. That would be a more general explanation of the Chinese presence. It becomes a little bit harder to justify when it's a security agreement that could see military hardware placed in a place where it's in a spot where it's not been before.
Obviously, you know, you've made it really clear that there are really significant unknowns with this agreement at this point, just in terms of the motivations of the parties that are signing up and in terms of the actual contents of the agreement itself. However, if possible, could you provide an opinion as regards to how this might affect New Zealand's security interests in the Pacific?
Hard to say. I mean, I'm not an expert at all on New Zealand's security situation. And there are others that could comment on that in a way more direct way than I could. I can understand and appreciate why it would be of concern. But I think a lot of what is happening now in the Solomons and elsewhere across the region is arising because, frankly, we've got colonial mindsets towards some of these places, too much so sometimes, where they're seen as the possession or the property or the backyard of somewhere else. And so when a different kind of partner, a different kind of aid provider in China comes along, which itself has a quasi-colonial history and talks about its actions as win-win and a more genuine partnership than might have been the case in the past, I can understand why that would be attractive to Pacific Island governments.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.